This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. On the programme this morning, we explore a remarkable piece of Manx social history that's over 200 years old. And once again, we welcome Canon Philip Gillespie with more news from Rome. That's right after our opening hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, His the Sceptre, His the Throne. Huddersfield Choral Society, and a great hymn for this Eastertide, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. And now let's welcome Canon Philip Gillespie, who joins us today with another report from Rome. Canon Philip's present ministry as rector of the Beda College, an international college for men training for the Roman Catholic priesthood, puts him close to Vatican life and in a good position to explain events there over this last week.
Good morning once again from Rome. Last Sunday there was an open-air mass at St Peter's Square here in Rome, attended by over 150,000 pilgrims and visitors, with men and women and children from Rome. It was a mass at which Pope Leo was given the pallium and the ring, both of which signify ritually the beginning of his ministry as successor of the Apostle Peter, as the one who will strengthen the brothers and sisters in the faith of Christ Jesus, not only as bishop in the Diocese of Rome, but also as Papa, Father, Pope for the whole world Catholic community. The pallium is a strip of lamb's wool, which is worn round the neck over the chasuble when a metropolitan archbishop presides within his province, the group of dioceses which come under his particular care. It is a reminder of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And just as Jesus takes us, his lambs, his flock, on his shoulders, so the Bishop of Rome is to take to himself the care of the church throughout the world. Later this summer, on the feast of St. Peter and Paul, the new Archbishop in Liverpool, Archbishop John Sherrington, will come here to Rome to receive his pallium from Pope Leo. It will be a visible reminder not only of the work of caring for the flock of the church entrusted to him, but also will serve as a visible reminder of the communion in faith which the Archbishop of Liverpool, and through him the Catholic community in the Archdiocese, has with the Bishop of Rome. In Catholic understanding, this communion with Rome ensures that we don't become so caught up in our own more localised need that we forget that, as we say in the Creed, the Church is Catholic, that is to say, worldwide. Pope Leo also received a ring, sometimes called the Ring of the Fisherman, because it bears an image of Peter, the one whom Jesus called to be a fisher of men. In times past, this acted as a seal with which the Pope validated important documents. But today, as with every bishop, the giving of a ring is a reminder of the commitment which the bishop has to the church. In that sense, as in marriage, the ring is a sign of the relationship of care and charity and love which the one who wears it has for another. That other, in this case, is the church. There was a lovely moment when Pope Leo, having received the ring placed on his finger by one of the cardinals, turned his hand flat and just looked at the ring. I wonder what emotions were in his heart at that moment. I don't think it was what in Latin we call superbia or pride, but perhaps it was a recognition of the great responsibility, the call to be a servant of unity, which he is to bring not only to his brothers and sisters who share the Christian faith, but also to the whole human family, to which he is to proclaim God's love, which transforms and underpins the dignity and worth of each life. Last Tuesday, Pope Leo came to the Basilica of St. Paul, just across the road from us, the church which is built over the burial place of the Apostle Paul. While we often associate Peter with Rome, the great feast on June the 29th is that of Peter and Paul, because both of them were martyrs, both shed their blood here in Rome as witnesses to their faith and love for the Lord Jesus and his people. We at the Beda College were privileged to be present at the short prayer service and also to meet, albeit briefly, the Pope personally. It was a great moment of joy. In his homily, he said, "Dear friends, God loves us. This is the great truth of our life. It is what makes everything else meaningful. Here we see, in all its simplicity and uniqueness, the basis of every mission, including my own mission as the successor of Peter and the heir to Paul's apostolic zeal." Then he prayed, "May the Lord grant me the grace to respond faithfully to his call." Amen to that.
Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the
A Song of Creation by St. Martin's Voices, directed by Dr. Andrew Eyris, and taken from a new CD just released a couple of days ago. Called The Gift of This New Day, this collection of chant and sacred works, alongside some new pieces, is a response to demand from listeners to the Church of England's daily prayer app and podcast. Since it launched in 2021, the Daily Prayer audio service has become a spiritual companion for millions of people. Music has always been a central part of it, offering peace, comfort, and space for reflection. The Gift of This New Day is available on CD from Church House Publishing, or you can stream and download the music on all the usual platforms: iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and YouTube Music. And we'll be featuring some more from the CD in future programmes. And before that, we heard from Canon Philip Gillespie in Rome. He's actually coming to the end of his 10 years in ministry as rector of the Beda College, and in the summer he'll be making a welcome return to the island, and in the late autumn he'll take over from Monsignor John Divine as the senior Roman Catholic priest on the island, based in the co-cathedral of St. Mary of the Isle here in Douglas. In July 1948, the National Health Service began, establishing a comprehensive health service for England and Wales. But at that time in the Isle of Man, a network of organisations had already been operating successfully for over 130 years, helping people with doctors' bills, sickness benefits, and funeral expenses. They're benevolent societies, and at one time there were numerous all around the island, offering membership to juveniles from the age of about 4 or 5 and men living nearby. I'd heard mention of them, but I confess I'd never taken the trouble to find out more until Brian Radcliffe kindly contacted me with some fascinating information that sent me chasing off to meet him at Rye Hill Farm in the glorious sunshine that we were still enjoying a couple of days ago. Now, Brian Radcliffe is affectionately known, certainly down north, as Bri Rad, the king of the fresh vegetables if you go shopping in Ramsey on a Saturday morning. But as we sat outside the farmhouse, surrounded by photographs and precious memorabilia, it wasn't produce we were discussing, but the history of the Benevolent Society of Kirkandrius. Brian, good morning and welcome.
Hello, good morning, Judith, and thanks for coming down on this beautiful day.
Well, frankly, I can't think of anywhere I would rather be. Now, Brian, you're very much involved with the Andreas Benevolent Society. This organisation started in 1812, the time of the Napoleonic Wars. A very precious historic organisation with a great Christian foundation to it that is celebrated every Ascension Day, and that's this coming Thursday.
If you wanted to join the Andreas Benevolent Society, you had to be of good health. If you were over 35, you were deemed high risk. You could join as a juvenile. Really, the purpose of the club was to help out with funeral expenses and a doctor's notes and general support to anybody and family within the parish.
Now, each new member had to make a solemn declaration, didn't they, Brian?
This little pamphlet is dated 1901, so it's still 124 years old, but it still follows the same procedure. And the declaration goes like this. To be made on entering the society. I do truly and sincerely declare before God and this society that I am, to the best of my knowledge, not above the age of 35. That, to the best of my knowledge, I am healthy and sound in constitution of body, and that I have no private disorder or ailment. That, to the best of my power, I will act in all things for the good and well-being of this society, and with God's assistance, will conform to the rules and orders of the same, whilst I continue a member thereof. And if I happen to be excluded, I will resign my right to all things whatsoever belong to the society, and I do declare that I will not complain of sickness, so as to draw from a box without just cause. And if it should please God to visit me with sickness or lameness, which obliges me to have recourse to the box, I will use the best means possible to regain my strength, and as soon as it shall please God to give me health, as to become capable of following my employment. I will not intrude upon the box or stock any longer than I can venture without endangering my health again.
Brian, thank you for that. Now, the box that's referred to in that declaration is the box where the money was kept. And there was a very simple but incredibly effective security precaution, wasn't there?
There was, yeah. So members of society contributed to the box. And just to make sure there wasn't any jiggery-pokery going on, the box had 3 locks on it. So there was obviously one for a treasurer, one for a secretary, and the president as well, just to make sure that all 3 had to be in attendance to open the box so there wasn't any dodgy dealings going on.
Now, what we have to bear in mind here is that in these days, everything cost money. There was no free treatment. So this must have been really a godsend, especially you make the point that over 35 you were deemed high risk. That tells you what life expectancy was like then, doesn't it?
Very much so, yes.
It was quite strict in its rules because, amazingly, you've got a rule book and you were not allowed to benefit if something happened to you through misbehaving.
Yes, absolutely, yes. You know, the organisation was a fair force to be reckoned with because I've got one of the balance sheets here in front of me from 1901 and it's listed a very detailed balance sheet of how much money we had at hand, and it was £1,529.09, and equate that to today and it was nearly £170,000 with inflation linked into it. So, yeah, it was a real good organisation to be involved in, and it's real proud that it's still going after such a length of time in its 213th year. So Ascension Day is always the day that the Andrus Benevolent Society meet, 6 weeks after Easter when Jesus ascended into heaven. And the format is very much similar to what it has been. Many years ago, it used to be a whole village affair with an awful lot of members, and they'd have sports days and running races and things like that going on. But now we're just a little bit sedate.
Don't you think, Brian, that it is really important to preserve these historic organisations?
Absolutely, we must keep them going. I am a trustee, along with David Hewitt from Andreas, and all we're looking after is just to keep the club going, really. So we're looking for new members of the organisation. The criteria is not as robust as what it was when these rules were formed. As long as you're fit and healthy and you'd like to join a historic organisation, you're very welcome.
By its very nature, it's a men-only organisation because they were the breadwinners, looking after the male breadwinners of the family, which is traditionally how it would be.
Yes, well, there is lots of pressure. I mean, we're all into equal opportunities, and who knows, in the future, ladies might be welcomed in, but at the moment it is only men only, because the man was the breadwinner, be out working all day and bring home the dollar and put it on the table for his good lady to spend wisely, and the lady would be off the house, would be at home looking after the children and getting meals ready and keeping the house spick and span. Yes.
Brian, let's have a look at these photographs, because you've got a wonderful collection. It was specified really in the rules of how the day would be celebrated, wouldn't it? That it would be a parade through the village, there would be a band, and you've got these great pictures. Wearing a sash is significant in the organisation, isn't it?
Yeah, different sashes were for different offers within the club. So the juveniles would have a different coloured sash with stripes on, a treasurer would have another one, the president would have the best one. So yeah, different sashes deemed different positions within the Benevolent Society. But as you can see with these pictures, there's a picture here of Ballaradcliffe House, which is still standing, with approximately 60 members outside it. And then over here, just to miss one here, there's a sports day picture from 1930. And, they really are smashing to see and being well kept by Michael Howland from Andrews Village, and he's passed them on to me to look after now. You know, it was a real grand day, and the whole village was involved.
I'm looking at one of these pictures with some very young boys in the front row, and so presumably Dad would perhaps enrol a child at very early age and to get them into the organisation, knowing its value. Would that be the kind of thing?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Yes, my father enrolled me, and some of my other family members are involved in it as well. But yeah, once you got in and you're enrolled as a junior member, you'd normally stay on and take positions later on. But it's just great to be involved in such a historic organisation. Founded in 1812, and we were just discussing before, that's even before the Isle of Man Bank was formed, and that's a considerably old organisation, isn't it?
What I particularly admire, Brian, is that you have so many of the treasures of the society, and that's not easy to keep over the years. You've got sashes, and you've got this wonderful china. Tell me about the china.
The china, you've held the china very carefully. I noticed your hands weren't shaking too much.
No.
The china is nearly as old as the club. It's not quite 212 years old, but when the organisation got a few funds together, they commissioned their own china, and it is cup, saucer and plates and dessert dishes and serving platters and everything like that, with the Andreas Benevolent Society embossed on each of the items. You've got to be real careful with it, you know, handle gently.
These things are utterly priceless, chiefly because of the history that's bound up in them. But if we're looking to exactly what's happening this coming Thursday, Ascension Day this week, what time and where does it all start, Brian?
Well, it starts at Andreas Parish Hall. The organisation has a meeting there about 6 o'clock for a 6:30 prompt start. And then we'll discuss matters arising and conduct business accordingly. New members are very welcome to attend, so if you'd like to come along, we'll get you enrolled and take down your particulars. Only a short meeting, half an hour or so. So meeting there, and then we leave, and then we'll take a vintage bus from the parish hall down to the clock in the village, and there will be a roll call from there where we'll march up to church, up the lane, and have a service in church at approximately 7:30. Anybody from the public is welcome to come along and join in. And then once that's taken place, short 45-minute service, we'll march back in our sashes down to the bus and head over to the parish hall for a cold meat salad, which seems to be the order of the day, and a few cakes as well. And also, we will be using the china on the day. You know, it's not there for ornamental show. It will be used on the evening, and anybody's welcome to come along and have a look.
It sounds wonderful. You can feel all the tradition that you've managed to keep, respecting the history and respecting all the people who will have been helped over the years.
Absolutely. It's very important to keep this historic organisation going. It really is. So we look forward to seeing some new faces on Ascension Day, Thursday the 29th.
And be a part of living history.
Yes, absolutely.
The Andreas Benevolent Society has its annual meeting always on Ascension Day, the day on which it was formed in 1812. And thank you to Brian Radcliffe, who welcomed me so warmly to Rye Hill Farm. And Brian would be delighted to welcome some new members to the Andreas Benevolent Society. The annual subscription of just £20 covers the expenses of the annual parade, hiring the bus and the parish hall, and providing the meal. If you're interested, go along to the meeting in Andreas Parish Hall at 6:30 this Thursday evening, and Brian will be there to welcome you. And we finish now with a look at our notice board. Tonight, the 25th, the Mariners' Choir will be at the Howe Methodist Chapel in Port St Mary. The service is at 6:30 as usual, and Gareth Moore will preach. There'll be supper and community hymn singing afterwards, and a warm welcome for all. Tomorrow, Bank Holiday Monday, there's a collectible, vintage and antiques fair in St Paul's Church Hall in Ramsey, open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's just 50 pence admission for the Church Fabric Fund, and Café San Paolo will be open in St Paul's Church Lounge, serving light refreshments. This Thursday, the 29th, Ascension Day, in the Abbey Church in Ballasalla, there'll be a short service of Holy Communion with hymns, starting at 12 noon. Reverend Ruth Walker, the vicar at the Abbey Church, offers a warm welcome to all to explore the significance of celebrating Ascension Day. Also this Thursday, the 29th, it's time for Tea at Three, a sumptuous afternoon tea served at Balaguerie Methodist Chapel on Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. No need to book, all are very welcome at this popular monthly event. And as we approach the TT Festival, again it's time to see which churches will be serving refreshments. The famous Bride Church TTTs will be served in the Parish Hall in Bride from Friday the 30th of May till Monday the 2nd of June inclusive, open daily from 11:30 to 4 o'clock. The TT Cafe in Balaf will once again be open in the Community Hall in Balaf, a short distance from the popular race viewing spot at Balaf Bridge. Hot and cold food, drinks and cakes will be available daily from Saturday the 31st of May to Friday the 6th of June, serving every day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The newly refurbished Selby Methodist Church at the crossroads in Selby Village are serving food on all race days when the roads are closed, and they'll be having their very popular barbecue in the church grounds at noon on Sunday, June the 1st. Following on from their Sunday morning service at 10:30 on that day. And in the Abbey Church Hall, right next to the Abbey Church in Ballasalla, you'll find their TT Cafe open for brunches from 9 a.m. to 2:30 on Saturday the 31st of May, then on Monday, Wednesday and Friday of race week, that's the 2nd, 4th and 6th of June. I'm sure there are other churches offering TT refreshments that I don't know about, so look out for local publicity and information on social media. And that's all that I've time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock, opening the virtual lounge door and inviting you to join me for easy listening music and your requests and dedications. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening. To all our visitors, I wish you a safe and happy stay with us. To all who are leaving to take holidays, safe travels and a restful break. And to everyone, I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.